Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, we are talking politics during this time slot every day. By the way, if you want to get your burning question asked of the candidates, WNYC is partnering with the Personal Democracy Forum in a 10 questions project. Now, you can submit questions through text or video for the candidates in this fall's midterm congressional elections. You can also vote on questions that other people have entered. The top 10 questions will be submitted to the candidates, many of whom have already pledged to answer. Submit a question or vote for one at the 10 questions feature on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we'll keep talking politics in this time slot. Bookmark this slot from now through the New York primary on September 14th. And now we turn to the contentious state Senate race in the 30th District in Harlem. Incumbent Bill Perkins is being challenged by Democratic consultant Basil Smichel for his seat, with the race hinging on the issue of charter schools. Smichel is supportive of more charter schools, while Perkins has been described as the state senator most opposed to the growth of charter schools. Since the district already includes one in five of the city's charter schools, the issue has people on both sides up in arms. The challenger, Mr. Smichel, has also garnered support from the Manhattan Democratic Party leadership, a surprise for a challenger to a longtime incumbent. Joining us first is Basil Smichel, and then coming up directly afterward will be the incumbent, Senator Bill Perkins. Mr. Smichel, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Is this race mostly about charter schools for you?
No, actually, it is. It does weigh heavily in some conversations, but I think the larger issue of turning around the public schools in the district and how a good education can open the doors for a number of young people that are currently going to school that will go to school for the next generation. I think the larger concern about how you turn around the public schools is probably bigger in and of itself than the charter school issue.
So how would you describe your differences with Mr. Perkins on the issue of charter schools, since that does seem to be so much of other people's focus on why to vote for one of you or the other?
I think that my support for charters, it really comes from the fact that education was such a huge part of my life. My mother's a school teacher. She's been teaching special ed for the last 26 years, a UFT member. Having the support of the union, of her union, helped me become the person I am. It helped us live, and it helped me go to school. So I absolutely support both the unions, but I also support the ability for young people to achieve and be able to compete globally. I think charters are a good answer to the concerns that a lot of parents had about the schools in the district. They wanted a choice, and we should be able to provide those choices for those parents. Not every parent's going to be able to afford a Catholic school or a private school, and the charters provide a good public alternative.
And I'm sure Senator Perkins is going to come on and say, I'm not against charter schools. I'm for charter schools that are transparent and accountable.
I think they are transparent, and I think they are accountable. A charter school that isn't performing can be closed. A teacher that is not performing can be dismissed a lot more easily than he or she could in a school where the teachers are represented by the UFT. So I think there is a lot more accountability, and in fact, you're hearing a lot of this talk about more teacher accountability across the country, especially in Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles as of very recently. So there is accountability and there is transparency. What I take issue with is that he talks a lot about not having, quote, outsiders, and I really don't know what he means by the term outsider, but he says that he doesn't want outsiders educating our kids, and that the people who support charters, he likened them to Bernie Madoff. I think what that does is it demonizes both the supporters of education reform and the supporter, who, many of whom support President Obama, by the way, and he demonizes the parents that feel that this is an appropriate choice for their children.
And we'll get his take on that and see what he might have meant by Bernie Madoff or outsiders when Senator Perkins comes on in a few minutes. But the New York Charter Parents Association endorsed Perkins last week. Mm-hmm. Does that take the bite out of the pro-charter school, con-charter school divide that this campaign has been seen as?
Well, it's interesting because in a follow-up story, two papers reported that this organization, that particular organization was basically a one- or two-person operation largely supported by the UFT. So they're hardly an independent voice for the vast majority of parents that have their children in charter schools or that want to have their children in charter schools. So what we really need is a far more independent voice, and I think that there may be organizations popping up to provide that. But I don't think, A, that organization represents a significant majority of the charter parents, if any at all, and two, in the district, and I might add. And number two, I don't think it takes the wind out of the sails with respect to my argument or my position, because, again, there are a great number of parents that feel that the charters are a really good choice for public education. And it's not the panacea. It certainly is not the only answer, but it is a choice for those that want that choice.
Before we go on to some other issues, Perkins has also said that charter schools have not held true to their original claim that they can educate students for less money without taking over public school spaces. Should these charters be held to that original claim? Because some of the data apparently shows that, many are now in public school spaces in those buildings that were for other kinds of public schools, and they're not really doing it for any less per child.
I think that the co-location is an important issue. In fact, there's a gentleman I was talking to last night who has his own space, and he's opening a charter school which is bilingual and French, which I thought was quite phenomenal. And the fact that he's been able to do this and not be co-located, I think, is great. I think that is an important issue. But Mr. Perkins, for example, signed onto a piece of legislation to make it easier for private schools to get capital money from the state to expand or to create new space. So my question is, if it's such an important issue for him, why did he not do the same thing for the charter schools? Because that is a very key issue in the debate. And there's something that as a legislator he could have tackled on his own but did not.
My guest, Basil Smichel, running to unseat State Senator Bill Perkins of Harlem in the Democratic primary. We have a comment on our webpage, and we never know who comments are from. Maybe this is from somebody in Perkins' office. Who knows? But the comment says, please don't overlook the other huge dynamic in this Senate race beyond charter schools, which is real estate. Bill Perkins is among the strongest fighters in Albany for legislation to protect tenants and affordable housing, particularly saving and strengthening the rent stabilization system. Basil Smichel is being heavily financed by landlord lobbyists. Your reaction?
That actually is not the case. 70% of my contributions are under $250, whereas my opponent, 80% of his donations come from special interests and political action committees. I don't see that he has been as strong a fighter for tenant rights as people think. I have the support of some of the biggest tenant leaders in Upper Manhattan. I believe that there are a lot of bills that he has certainly talks a lot about supporting, but hasn't really been a fighter in Albany.
There's one in particular in this comment on our website, one issue in particular, which is vacancy decontrol. Mm-hmm. That is, when an apartment in rent stabilization becomes vacant, somebody moves out, landlords can then flip it to market rates if they do certain renovations. And this says, Smichel will give evasive answers and would never commit to the full repeal of vacancy decontrol and the re-regulation of the 300,000 apartments we've lost already. Would you? I don't know if Perkins holds that position either. I'll ask him. But would you commit to those things?
I could commit to fighting for those things, absolutely. And one of the things that I think is also interesting is that, and people will overlook this also, that his support when he ran for borough president in 2005, 11 of his top 20 donors were from the real estate industry. And I think there's a double standard here. And I think if people look a little more closely and they actually dig a little deeper, they'll find that there are a lot of people that he claimed that I have support from that he's had support from in the past. And, it's more of that sort of Albany doublespeak. Everybody's trying to fight to retain their position up there. It creates significant amount of dysfunction. We've all seen it happen in the last couple of years. And I think we can go back and forth in terms of who's got support from which group and this group, and it's not productive.
We're almost out of time. Any other policy differences between you and the incumbent?
Well, I actually think you'll see me be a legislator. The state Senate is the upper house of the state legislature, and it is supposed to be, it is viewed in many respects as the more thoughtful, policy-oriented body of the state legislature. I don't think it has been that for quite some time. And my goal is to really bring that back, or at least contribute to bringing that back.
You won the endorsement of the Manhattan Democratic Party leadership. So the official county party, borough party, is behind you, not behind Bill Perkins, who's so well known. Is that accurate?
That is not exactly accurate. The what happened, the Democratic Club, where the county leader is a member, has endorsed me. It is, on one hand,
is that
endorsement of the county committee, but it is seen symbolically as very important because it it is the club belonging to the county leader.
Is that Keith Wright?
That is Keith Wright.
And has he endorsed in this race?
I don't know if he's actually made a formal endorsement in this race, but he is a prominent voice in the community, and I look forward to working with him as a senator.
And Basil Smichel, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And now to the incumbent two-term state senator in that 30th district in Harlem, Bill Perkins. Senator Perkins, welcome back to WNYC.
Wonderful to be here again, and was interesting to hear your conversation.
How would you start to describe your differences on charter schools from your point of view?
Well, I have been a voice calling for transparency and accountability with regard to charter schools and in general with regard to any governmental resources or authority that is given to any institution under my jurisdiction as the chairman of corporations, authorities, and commissions. And so I, in response to charter parents, had hearings because there were great concerns about transparency and accountability, the opportunity for parents to be heard by the charter community, the opportunity for special ed children to be a part of charters, homeless children to be a part of charters, English language learners. These were issues of great concern, and not to mention co-location, where there was strife between parents who were neighbors in the same community fighting over space. And, of course, I guess from a reform point of view, making sure that the controller had the auditing authority, as he has over regular public schools, he should also have over charter schools. So charter reform, as part of my general reform agenda, was very significant in creating the opportunity for us to win the race to the top and get $700 million for the children, not just for charters, but for all the children in the state of New York. We're happy that we were able to do that. We're happy that we were able to work with charter parents in an effective way to make a change.
On the question of accountability and transparency, you heard Mr. Smichel say charters are more accountable. They can be closed more easily. Teachers can be moved or fired more easily. So in terms of what really affects the families, charter schools are more accountable today, he was arguing.
Well, I don't think that's accurate necessarily. As I said, they were not accountable in terms of being audited by the controller, as other public schools are. They were not accountable in terms of discriminating against special ed students, English language learners, homeless students. They were not accountable, even in terms of some of the scandalous activities that have been reported in the daily papers that were taking place, almost as if they were anti-poverty programs of the past. So there were scandals brewing not only in New York City, but in other parts of the state and, in fact, in other parts of the country. For instance, I know that in Philadelphia, the controller did an audit of several charter schools out there, and they were 18 were found to be problematic, and then the U.S. Attorney General's office had to intervene in order to fix that problem. So there's a concern about that kind of that transparency and accountability was not at the level that it needed to be.
With so many parents in the district entering the lotteries for spaces in charter schools, so many more than there are spaces, should the number of charter schools be greatly expanded in the district to meet the demand?
Everything should be carefully done. I think that, frankly, right now, 97% of our children do not go to charter schools, and we need to create opportunities there that can help the demand. That is, the demand that parents have for a quality education is what's at stake right now. And we need to provide as much of that opportunity as possible. We raised the cap, by the way, to 250 so that there are more opportunities for more charter schools. However, most of our children will not be going to charter schools. Most of our children, as it is now, 97% will be going to the public schools. So the challenge is to make sure that our children can get a quality education in traditional public schools as well as any place else. That's what we're working on, both sides of the ledger, to make sure that all our children get the kind of education that they deserve.
And you heard Mr. Smichel characterize your words as saying people supporting him on this are outsiders and likening them in some way to Bernie Madoff. Did you say those things, and what did you mean?
I didn't say those things, and I think that, frankly, the fact of the matter is that there's been a lot attributed to me that is inaccurate in terms of my position is, and I think that what you can count on, I think, was well exhibited in terms of the hearing. We responded to charter parents. We had the hearings. We gave them an opportunity to make a representation. We applaud them for that because, in fact, reforms were done, and we won the race to the top significantly because of those type of changes that were made. I also want to point out that the fact of the matter is that he says 70% of his contributions were made under $250. Actually, only 4% of that type, whereas 96% are large contributions, and they're mostly outside of the district. And in fact, there was only listed 8 from people within the district. So clearly, his contributions are much larger than he's claiming. And in fact, the number of contributors that are in this district are very, very insignificant by comparison to the large number, 96%, that are outside of the district.
You think it's because he's become a cause celeb for the charter school movement?
Yes, I think that clearly the hedge fund millionaires are behind his candidacy, and that's significantly where his funds are coming from. And they have decided that I'm public enemy number one because of the fact that I'm asking for transparency, asking for accountability, recognizing that there's some shortcomings that need to be fixed. And in fact, as a result of the reforms, some of those shortcomings have been fixed.
So when you
but
talk
we support those kids no matter where they are, whether in the charter schools or whether in the public schools, whether in the city or whether outside of the city.
So now when you talk about within the district, what do you make of the Democratic Club in the district that includes Keith Wright, who's the Manhattan Party leader and, of course, represents Harlem, also in Albany, that Democratic Club voted to endorse
Smichel? Well, let me say this. Every Democratic Club within my district, which runs from 81st Street in Central Park West into the Upper West Side, Morningside Heights area, Harlem, East Harlem, Central Harlem, Washington Heights, all the way up to Inwood, mm-hmm. all of the clubs have endorsed me, and those endorsements came through a process in which I was interviewed by the club members and who subsequently voted 97% for me as opposed to for him. His club, they had something called a screening committee of about 17 people, 11 of which supported him, 7 of which supported me. That's 18, I'm sorry. And so it's a significantly different kind of process that was done. And but the, generally speaking, throughout the district, the Democratic political clubs are supporting me, number one. Number two, in that regard, you know, I think that the reason they're supporting me is because I've had an agenda that has been responsive to the kinds of issues that those, in terms of the communities that those clubs represent, whether it's in terms of affordable housing and addressing those, the Mitchell-Lama issues, whether it's in terms of the transparency and accountability and the reforms in terms of how we govern. In fact, I've been endorsed by the Citizens Union. Dick Daty has said that my legislation is perhaps the most significant piece of legislation in many years. I'm proud of having accomplished that with the public authorities reform, actually putting a sheriff within the process, so to speak, that would prevent us from having an MTA with two sets of books ever again. We bring those public authorities out of the closet into the light of public scrutiny and accountability.
Dick Daty said that. You said he's the head of the Citizens Union, for people who don't know. Last thing, we have a minute left. On rent stabilization, you heard Mr. Smichael say he would fight for full repeal of vacancy decontrol and the re-regulation of the 300,000 apartments lost to vacancy decontrol. Are you different on housing, in your opinion?
Let me say this. The difference is I'm endorsed by Tenants PAC, the leading housing movement within our city and within our state that has looked at my record, looked at his record, and decided that the one that they can rely on is Senator Bill Perkins, by virtue of what he has accomplished in the past and by virtue of who they believe is supporting Basil Smirkle.
And do you support full repeal of vacancy decontrol?
Oh, of course. Yes, I think it was a mistake. And in fact, the way in which it was created was by calling it luxury decontrol, which was a misnomer. It was not luxury decontrol, but some people thought by calling it luxury decontrol, it would get the kind of support. But in fact, it is a situation in which many low-income, moderate-income, middle-income families find themselves in great stress about the possibility of losing their homes.
And
this
there
is
we
very,
have to
very
leave
bad
it.
Mistake.
State Senator Bill Perkins from the 30th District in Harlem and adjacent neighborhoods that you heard him lay out from the Upper West Side up through Inwood. Along, it's another one of those long, skinny districts on the Upper West Side, right?
Like well, Congressman than skinny, but it is long.
Congressman Rangel's district overlaps that a lot, right?
Yes.
Long north and south.
Yeah, multi. It's a very diverse district. A lot of different communities, a lot of different cultures, a lot of, in some respects, different local issues. But they all come together around affordable housing and making sure that those families can remain, as well as coming together around the importance of public education.
Thank you for joining us. We've now heard from both candidates back to back in that race. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we'll close out the show by looking at a study that finds moderate drinkers live longer than heavy drinkers, but heavy drinkers live longer than teetotalers. Stay tuned.